The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. Got Bill Denmark in here with me this morning.
Hiding from the wind today.
Yes, sir. I think a lot of people would like to hide from the wind, except for one fact that the El Cheapo Sheep's Head tournament's today. So, looks like it's blowing about 22 knots or gust to 22 knots. And we got small craft exercise caution starting at 7. Just got gale force going on right now. Gale warnings in effect until 7. So the people out there in El Cheapo sure hope they be safe when they're headed to get on their spot. And see, somebody's already on their spot, so it must be quite a few people getting on now. The lines will be down in an hour.
Wow, that's
start fishing.
Crazy.
I know. That's gonna be a little messy out there.
I'd like to hope the jetties will be, not so populated today.
Yeah, it's going to be blowing most of the day. It's showing here, even on Windfinder, and also National Weather Service is showing it 20 to 25 knots and gusty. And of course, that's kind of a usual thing during El Cheapo Sheep's Head tournament. I fish some real pretty days in it. But most of the time it's I remember one year was out there, it was cold and raining all day. That was pretty tough fishing. But looking at all that, I want to wish everybody luck out there. I mean, of course, somebody's gonna win it. I don't know what size of fish it's gonna take today, but hopefully it's gonna be a nice one. And a lot of times, people talk about not being able to go offshore and fish, in those places like that. But to be honest with you, I mean, most of the winners come inshore. So over the last 20 years of this tournament. So, there's only been about, I think, either 4 or 5 winners from offshore in all these years. So, there's some big fish inshore. I mean, I know my customers have caught some big ones inshore, 14, 15 pounds.
Yeah, that's a whopper.
And those are big sheephead.
The garbage can lid.
Yeah. And, we've caught some 11s and 12s. And it might take a pretty good size one to win this time. But,
it's going to take a heck of a boat to sit out there at the jetties all day. and a bunch of crazy fools on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets, to me, it gets to a point where it's not fun. So you want to try to, I try to find a place inshore a little bit further even.
Last time I went out to the jetties to try to get some, pretend I could catch sheephead, I was the only one out there. Mm. And I started looking around. I thought, there shouldn't be anybody out here.
Including you.
Yeah, I went all the way out to the end and I'm like, no, because my trolling motor quits. I'm on the rocks before I could even start my regular motor.
Yeah, you got to be careful out there, and it's always good to have somebody out there too. I've been out there on those days where you look around, there's nobody out there, and it's kind of, you kind of wonder about stuff like that. But
yeah, what are you missing?
Yeah, it's like everybody knew better.
Well, it's not like being at the launch ramp when you're the only guy at the launch ramp. That doesn't necessarily mean anything except that they're two babies won't come out in the cold.
Mm.
But the jetties is for my flats boat. I got to be careful.
When I launched my boat the other day, there was no boats at the boat ramp. And before I left the dock, there was 2 more. So I felt kind of better about, making the decision to fish.
Yeah. But did you catch any fish?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Sure did. Yeah. Yeah, we caught some, reds in the creeks and went out and caught some black drum and big sheephead and some whiting. So it was pretty nice. Yeah, quite a few drum, even though some of them, were small.
Right.
But But actually, the ones that we were able to keep, we got one that was about probably 7 pounds or so. But, you know, the rest of them were like around, you know, 17, 19 inches, just the perfect size to eat, mm-hmm. you know. So that was good.
I'm always depressed when I catch a drum because the chest is so big. Mm. It's like, dang, there's not as much meat on here as I thought.
Yeah. Well, so, and that's why when you get one about, you know, 19, 20, 21, mm-hmm. you know, then that's where the meat really, you know, increases on it for you.
Well, I caught a 60-pound drum one time. And made, yeah. And George, I was when I lived in St. Simons, caught them off a bridge, believe it or not.
And they're coming in now. The big ones are coming in. There's been a couple of 35s caught and a 50-pounder caught the other day.
Well, I kept them.
So they're slowly coming. No.
And when I flayed them, it was like a bowl of spaghetti. It was like, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, what is all these white things all in?
Yeah,
like,
I'll never, crawling ever. Around. And then I read up on it. It's okay. You can eat them, I guess. They're edible. So.
Yeah. they are edible. I mean, as far as the Marine Patrol or the Fish and Wildlife had said, you know, that they're not toxic to humans if you cook them.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I'm not going to cook and eat a worm myself. But
no,
you know.
Me neither. But I lost half the meat probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those worms get all in there. Sometimes they're in a ball like the size of your fist in certain places, but yeah. A lot of times they're spread out in there.
It was literally like a bowl of spaghetti. It was really, besides the fact I killed 1 million fish eggs,
mm-hmm.
you know, it didn't taste good and it was gross as could be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was a proud daddy for a while, but after that, the kid turned bad, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and looking at stuff like that, I mean, it's great to have a camera within, and most everybody has a camera now that we have phones, you know, so, you know, just take a picture of them and let them go, you know, but, and that's what we do when we catch the big ones, you know, we make sure we, you know, vent them and take care of them, revive them. You can't just vent them and torpedo them like a redfish, like a big bull red, but you know, cause they're just not as hardy. So you vent them and you lower them down and you kind of let them sit there and revive, you know, and they'll swim off, you know.
Well, this, I never caught one before. I haven't really caught many drum. I don't fish for them. Well, you've seen me in action. I throw them overboard and everything.
Especially the 15 inches.
Yes. I knew that'd come up. But I chummed them up with some oysters. Mm. This is in Georgia, you know.
Yep.
And I took my rod and I hooked it to the bridge. I was on a bridge with a bungee cord, bigger rod. Mm. I said, I'm going to go catch a big drum. Mm. And I was fishing for sheephead, too. And I was there for about 10 minutes, and it went off. I set the hook, took me 15 minutes just to see him, and he went away from the bridge. Mm. Never went under the bridge. And I had all these guys with, you know.
That was good, though, so he didn't cut you off.
No, he didn't cut me off, and all these guys were like, down in the water, up to their waist, going, we'll help you, bring them over here. it drew a crowd. So it was super fun. It was a great, great thing. I'll never really work on that again,
but yeah.
it sure was fun.
They catch them at Nassau Sound Bridge sometimes.
Oh, man, I betcha. Mm-hmm. Betcha they do.
Yeah, because Nassau Sound used to be, like, the big thing. That's where everybody went to catch them, but, you know, they come up the river also.
Yeah, I fished Nassau for me the last year has been not as good. It used to be like a go-to, let's go get a few trout, limit out, and then go catch some other fish.
Yeah.
And it's not been like that the last 10 times I've been there.
And usually the whiting are in Nassau pretty good this time of the year, but I don't know how big they are. I haven't been there in quite a while, but I know in the summer times, a lot of times they're real small, but we got some real nice whiting the other day at the jetty, so, you know, that's good while we were drum fishing, you know, so.
At the end or inside?
Oh, no, inside. Yeah. Inside. They're all up and down, both inside the rocks, north and south.
How deep?
And, it varies in there. You just get alongside the rocks, and I'd say anywhere from 38 to 50 foot of water, you know. It just varies all in there, but, you know.
How many ounces? What are you using, like 3-4 ounce sinkers?
We were using 6 that day just because of the current, you know, but, right. You know. But it just depends on the current. When you go out there and you have a minus tide like you're going to have this week, you're going to have more current, you know. So it just all depends on how you work them. Give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun, but at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show. And anyway, looking at some of the stuff here, I want to remind everybody that this coming Wednesday at 57 Heaven on Wells Road, the West Bank Seminar Series, Mark Fields having the surf fishing seminar by Noel Kuhn, which is like the surf fishing guru around here. So it's going to be March 11th, this coming Wednesday, 6 p.m., and that's 1975 Wells Road. It's 57 Heaven, and come have some good food and enjoy listening to Noel, because he can tell you how to surf fish, I can tell you that. And I know a lot of people think, surf fishing is kind of, easy to do. You go out there and throw a bait out, but that's not all there is to it a lot of times. Looking at the wind out there, it's blowing pretty bad. So I hope everybody's careful out there on the El Cheapo Sheepshead Tournament, and not too many people around the tips of the rocks out there too bad, the tips of the jetties. But I imagine there'll be a lot of people fishing inshore, you know, all the way up to downtown. I mean, there's big sheephead on. I had a customer of mine year before last, because I didn't fish it last year either, but I had a customer of mine sent me some pictures from Trout River where he had some 13-pounder, 12.5-pounder caught off his dock. Yep. So I went down there and fished his dock, and I caught a huge, huge eel. That thing must have been...
Did you ever eat one of those eels?
No.
They're fantastic.
I bet they are.
Best fish I ever ate in my life.
Is it?
I used to live on a... I went nuts one time. Well, more than once. But one time when I went crazy, I traded a Model A Ford for a 1939 55-foot Chris Craft and lived on it. Huh. There's this old Italian guy from Canada, and I had a crab trap. You know, so and I pulled it out, and there's an eel in it. He was just going wild.
Oh, I bet.
Get it, get it, get it. You know, of course, it could make it.
He was going wild.
He was going wild. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, the things can get through the wire. Not quick, but he can get through. That's how he got in. So we got it, and he cooked it. Mm. Oh, Lord. It was just so good. Mm. He cooked it. He lived in a little Chris Craft. Turns out the boat wasn't stolen or he was wanted or something. Anyways, they finally came and dragged it. If you live in a marina, you're with a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I called it Boatel Hell. It sure was fun, but it was really another bad mistake I made.
How long did you live there?
About a year. It got rough when the marina got repossessed. They took the electric pole out. They were so mad at the owner. And it got pretty rough then. This was in Flagler Beach.
Yeah, I guess you didn't have, and when you don't have no power, do you have no generator?
Oh, anything? Yeah. And then that made the neighbors hate me.
Oh, the generator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's either that or they hated me making coffee. I could never decide.
Make coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Crank generator up.
Yeah, don't ever do that. Don't buy an old boat and live on it. I don't care if you are 22.
Yeah.
And I tell, you know, of course, I was a lot more fun than I am now. I'd say, hey, you know, I live in a boat. You want to come live in my... They'd be like, yeah, it's a yacht. But we can only bring people here, girls, at dark.
I hate to ask why.
Yeah. You know why. It was fun, but it was stupid.
I imagine, man. Yeah.
But I used to throw a line out the back and fish and watch TV.
Yep. I always kind of thought about, you know, renting a cabin cruiser and spending a week on it. You know, go up and down Intercoastal and fish and stuff, you know, be able to just sit there and, you know, cook fish and you know, just enjoy nature for a whole week out there on a cabin cruiser.
But, get a houseboat.
Yeah.
There's a lot more room in them.
I bet. Yeah.
I've done that 3 or 4 times.
My wife says she's not really crazy with the idea of sleeping on a boat. I guess she's afraid something happened while she's asleep, you know.
Pirates?
So,
pirates are
no,
a big
not
problem.
Pirates. Speaking of pirates, I was watching some videos last night, matter of fact, of some pirates that picked the wrong ships, you know, to pick
them.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had some private security people on them.
Who paid to be there, yeah, those
and,
guys.
That was pretty neat. You know, some of those pirates really run up to their ships and had a big surprise. And I kind of got a kick out of that. But anyway, looking at this morning, you got a high tide at 6:04 at Mayport and a low tide at 12:18 at Mayport, and it's a -0.6. So you got a high tide at 5.2, so they're going to have to deal with some current today when that tide turns and starts going out. You know, unfortunately, there's going to be quite a bit of current. Then tomorrow you got even more. You got a high tide at 7:57 a.m. It's a 5.5. And then you have a low tide at -0.9 at 2:07 p.m. So I'm looking at these times, and that's right, time changes tonight. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, daylight savings time changes tonight. So that's why the tides are so much different time. I mean, usually it's about 45, 50 minutes difference. Here it's an hour and 50 minutes. So looking at that, I can see now why I was wondering about that. And then on Monday, you got a -1.2. Tuesday, a -1.5. There's going to be some low tides this week. So right after that full moon, the full moon, which is on Monday here. So looking at that, it's going to have some really, really low tides. Now, I do love the low tides. When they're minus tides like that, because it just, you know, it just creates a whole lot different atmosphere out there for those fish to be in. And I just enjoy being able to see the different areas that they get in comparatively, you know.
I've been out, I didn't even know where I was because it's the terrain. You can't see over the grass anymore, you know, at the super low tides.
Right, yeah.
I see these giant oyster beds. I've been running over 40 miles an hour. I'm thinking, holy cow.
That you've been running over?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could look at some areas like that. You look at some bottoms that you never knew, you know, that it was existing there. I like to watch them, you know, even at the right along about Friday, we still got some real minus tides this week, even next Saturday. And then around Sunday, it starts getting back closer to normal. So this entire week, going to have some real minus tides. That's going to be pretty neat to look at. And, you know, hopefully those fish are going to really, you know, means that we didn't get it real cold, you know, this morning, even though that wind's going to cool it's going to cool the water down some more. Once that cool air gets in the, you know, gets mixed in with the waves, it's going to cool it down some. But I tell you, it's been kind of a pain in the neck because our water temperature just kind of eases up to around 62, 63 degrees, sometimes even 64. And then we get a cold front, knocks it back down to 59, 58. And it's just been that way week after week after week. Now, see, this week when we have the little cold front come in Thursday, it's not going to be near as cold as even it is today. So that's going to be pretty good, you know, because every week, it seems like every week right up toward the weekend, we have a cold front come in. So this time it's not going to – this next week's not going to be as near as cold.
That'll be good because I've gone from catching 50 trout to going out a few weeks ago, caught none.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough.
That water temperature goes up and down. You can imagine what it does to this fish. You know? Especially when it first dives down, you know, get that stunning action into them, you know, where, you know, it's really got to just, you know, kick them in the butt because they're submerged in that water and they're the same temperature. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this weather kind of straighten up a little bit and not get as cold. So hopefully, you know, water temperature won't drop as much.
When do you expect flounders to start coming?
Flounders in. There's
thick as thieves?
No, well, I wouldn't say thick as thieves, not up here, but they are in Palm Valley and St. Augustine. But, you know, usually up here it's around April when they initially come in. But this year's been really different. I mean, we've had flounder here that they've caught, you know, even starting in January, they've started catching them, you know. I say started catching them. We have flounder that's here year-round, you know, even in the wintertime, but just not a lot of them. But this particular year, for some reason, I mean, it seems like we've just had quite a few flounder in. That seems strange to me. So whenever people were telling me they were catching them, and then I started seeing pictures of them and all, when they were catching them back in January, I was just shocked. You know, January and February, I was just shocked that they were catching the ones there, because a lot of times you'll catch, you know, 14-incher, you know, right, here and there, you know, like maybe one a trip or something like that. But, you know, there's people that's actually catching quite a few.
I used to get, before I had a boat, I'd float fish a lot, and I'd always get flounders in Port George, you know, down past the docks. But you're right, they weren't very big.
Yeah. You talking about in the wintertime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I love float fishing. I just don't ever get to do it, but I just love it. The time, you know, I went.
Yeah.
I love doing
it. It's fun.
It is. Just watching that cork, you know, what's so funny is you can watch that cork float sometimes 100 feet and you turn your head, look at a bird, turn back.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Well, that's because those fish have spotters. Everybody knows that bit.
I think they work with the birds and stuff. You look at that eagle up there. Oh, where's my cork?
They're laughing, eating the shrimp and laughing at us.
Anyway, give us a call if you like, 222-8255, and let us know if you're out there on your spot at El Cheapo and wait to drop your line down at 7 o'clock. And everybody, don't forget, tonight, times change, spring forward. You're going to lose an hour of sleep tonight. So I'm going to go to bed early so I don't lose it. We'll be back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is shaking up White House leadership, replacing his acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, with Republican Representative Mark Meadows. The president announced his staff reshuffle last night in tweets. A long rumored move comes as the president has been surrounding himself with people as he prepares for a tough reelection campaign. Two people attended the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee conference in Washington this week, coming down positive now for the coronavirus. The group made the disclosure yesterday on Twitter. The cases are the first link to the nation's capital. Florida health officials say two people who tested positive for the new coronavirus have died in the state. Those are the first deaths from the outbreak reported in Florida and on the East Coast. At the close on Wall Street Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 257 points, 25,864. This is SRN News.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, March 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, March 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, March 14th at 7 p.m., it's the Spring Garden Concert at the Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from C. Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Mostly sunny through Wednesday with a high this weekend and near 60. Is Monday and Tuesday about 75 and then Wednesday near 80. Partly cloudy at night with lows around 50.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And I'm anxious to hear, you know, how people do in the El Cheapo, because I know sheephead fishing has been a little slow here lately, but, you know, hopefully people get out there and get on them. And anyway, hopefully they'll get out there and do that. Be sure to go by Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs over at 850 South Lane Avenue. You know, they're one of the sponsors here that helps keep us on the air. So be sure to go over there and tell them, tell Jim or, you know, the head waitress over there that you heard about them on the Still Just Fishing Show. That's Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs. They've been a longtime sponsor of us right there on South Lane Avenue. Good place to eat or even get a family together or friends and, you know, call them and see if you can go in there and reserve their swamp room and go back there where you can all gather, you know, in a separate room from the rest of the people. And
that's always a fun thing to do at a restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call it the swamp back there. That's where we used to have our RFA meetings in there.
The Royal Fishing Associates?
No, nah, Recreational Fishing
Alliance. Oh, okay. Oh, that's not as pompous. Yeah, it's fun to get a bunch of people and go to a private little dining thing and eat some good food.
Yeah, it sure is. But anyway, looking at this weather, I'm just, you know, I'm hoping this weather's going to kind of ease up. You know, tomorrow's supposed to ease up a little bit, and then, of course, Monday a little bit more. Looks like Tuesday and Wednesday, of course, in the middle of the week. But, then, you know, 5 to 10 knot winds, I mean, that's like, you know, where you can't resist getting out there.
No, because it's really only 10 to 15 knot winds by the time you get out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 5 to 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it is. I know a couple of weeks ago we was able to have a real calm day. It was really nice. Of course, it was supposed to start raining about 6 to 8 that night, and it was, you know, storming on us at 1 o'clock and in the afternoon. But, you know, that was – we headed back in, but soaking wet. This time of the year you don't want to get – soaking wet like that, but we wound up doing it, and just because that rain just came in so quick, you know, just kept an eye on the weather and all. But you know, looking at it, you're thinking about how it just goes around you a lot of times. We watch several little rain showers go around us, and then so we kind of fished close to the boat ramp, the last spot, caught 3 reds there, and the rain got between us and the boat ramp, which is bad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
When it gets between you and the boat ramp, you really don't have much choice, you know.
It's surprising how you can sneak around and not get wet.
And watch it. Yeah. Just keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. That's one good thing about these phones, you know, that you can watch that radar and see which way it's moving or how far away it is, things like that. That's one good thing about them. So used to, you know, without radar, you just didn't know. I know we were sitting up in Clapboard one time, way up in Clapboard, right up against these big trees, and we was throwing lures, and all of a sudden we hear this big old clap of thunder, and I said, let's ease out here and see what we got, you know. And I moved out from the trees where we could look, you know, at the sky.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was so black.
Time to go.
It was like, whoa, we got to get out of here. And as soon as I moved out, there was another big old bolt of lightning and clap of thunder, and I was like, no, we got to get out of here, fellas. So we took off and headed back in.
I haven't been wet very many times. You know, of course, I have a banana with me for luck usually. That seems to do the trick.
Yeah, I know. You're lucking your bananas.
Yeah. Hey, when you're fishing these super low tides, what differences do you make in your normal approach to fishing? Is there anything you do different? When it's real low?
Yeah, I stay out further from like, on a mud flat.
Still
no
kidding.
Further because actually the fish is going to stay out further too, see? You know?
That's
when,
it.
When you're on a mud flat. You know, I'll get to the areas where I think fish are going to come out of creeks. I'll get there a little earlier because I think the fish, I mean, it's just
sooner.
My opinion, but, you know, a lot of people may agree with me, but just my opinion that I think the fish feel that water dropping faster, and so they'll come out of there earlier. You know, sometimes you know, we talk about fishing creek mouths a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You get up there and you're fishing the creek mouth, and, you know, the fish may not even come out of that creek till like an hour before low tide. You know,
right.
When you get in there on the minus tides, sometimes they start pouring out of there earlier and together more, you know, I should say. Because I think they feel that pressure, that water dropping faster or something. I don't know. But that's just what it makes me, you know, seeing the what happens at some of these areas. It just makes me think that they're like, you know, hey, man, this water's getting out of here. We got to get out of here. And so they rush out of there faster. at a higher tide, let me explain this right. When I say at a higher tide, I mean before it gets as low, because I think they feel the movement of the water so much faster that they maybe, you know, have to follow that water more. Mm. Maybe feel that current. They may feel the current. They may feel the, you know, the depth dropping. I don't really know what it is. I mean, I'd like to know what it is, but I don't really know. So a lot of times I'll move. Say if I was going to go to a creek mouth, that I usually go in there, you know, an hour before low tide.
All right.
And expect the fish to come out of there once that water gets down to about a foot to 8 inches deep. Sometimes I'll move in there a couple hours early because it's, if it's a minus tide, it's going to be 8 inches to a foot deep earlier, you know, because it's going to be lower at the end of it. So, in other words, you'll have the same depth that you would an hour before low tide. You may have that 2.5 hours before low tide because it's going to be, you know, a lot lower water in there. It amazes me when I see people that don't look at tide charts, because they'll fish a creek that they may go in there and have, you know, say 1.5 feet of water, and you can go in and out of it, you know, really good.
Right.
And you can fish in that creek on like a plus tide and have, you know, plenty of water. And then when you have like we're showing a minus 1.4, minus 1.5, I mean, you're talking 1.5 feet lower than normal. So you go in there and fish that same creek, next thing you know, it's bone dry.
Oh, I've fished that creek.
No, you have?
Yeah. Hasn't everybody? Yes, sir, I have fished that creek.
Yeah, so, I mean, watching those tide charts to me is very important as to how I fish and where I fish because, you know, some of the creeks that I fish in, the smaller creeks, I can go in and out on a regular tide or a 0.5 tide or a 0.7 tide. But if you got a minus 0.5, then I won't even go in there.
Mm.
Yeah. And then if you have a west wind, okay, that's going to create an even lower tide. It could show a minus 1.4 and then be a west wind. It wind up being a minus 1.6. You could show a minus 1.4 and have an east northeast wind, and then it would only be like a minus one, you know, so it's going to keep that water from dropping as much. So the wind is a big factor in it too, you know, but the main thing is watching that tide chart, you know, and you can get, one of my favorites is freetidetables.com. And a lot of people will have the apps on their phone. Do you have an app on your phone showing the tide? Yeah. And if you'll notice, you'll get in some places and that app is not right in some places because of the way the current is, the way the channels are, things like that. But, you know,
Alan's giving us a signal.
Oh yeah,
to wrap it up.
Yeah,
2 minutes.
Yeah, whenever I hear that music going, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I make the mistake. I look first thing I do is I look at the wind, yeah. And I say, "Well, I'd like to fish this week. What mm-hmm. day?" So
yeah,
let's say Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at the tide.
Yeah,
and that's it. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look again. I've never ever looked at the minus or plus because I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a lot of tides in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Tides are minimal, you know, no matter what the wind is.
Yeah, and see, down here, it's a big difference. I mean, like today, you've got, what is the north winds? Okay, so north winds is not as bad, I mean, as far as, you know, pushing water up in the river as a northeast wind. You get an east-northeast wind. You know, like say tomorrow, so you're showing northeast winds and, you've got a 8 o'clock, it's 7:57. So 8 o'clock high tide at Mayport showing a 5.5. Well, if you've got that east wind at 15 knots, or northeast wind at 15 knots instead of the 5.5, it could be a 5.7. You know, it could actually get a lot higher at high tide, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you have that tide already coming in, and then that wind helped pushing it in,
speeding it up,
and it will speed it up there again. See, tomorrow it's showing a minus 0.9, so really it's not going to be that low if that wind kicking 15 knots, you know, it's not going to be that low. It'll be more like a minus 0.7 or something. And anyway, we'll be back right after this.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, you know, you've heard on our advertisements there, you heard one of the ones that helps sponsors our show is Durant's Tree Service. They're over on Bowling Street, but you can call them at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. If you got any possible trees that you're kind of, you know, leery about before we get hurricane season come up in June, it'll be here before you know it. You know, they're family-owned and operated, licensed and all, so I've been here for decades. But give Durant's Tree Service a call, because they sure come out and help me out. 449-2848. And looking at, you know, these tides, see what I was talking about with these tide charts with the minuses on them, letting you look at it. And like I said, you can check them out on freetidetables.com. And then you just put in whatever location you want. You know, I have mine set on the Mayport degaussing structure, which is where the Times Union used to have their tides years and years ago. That's the only place where we used to be able to get our tides was, you know, from the Times Union. I mean, that was, you know, the TV would say it sometimes, you know, and this kind of gets me because, you know, as big of a fishing community as we have here, you hardly ever have a boating forecast on any of our news, you know, any of our TV stations here, which is kind of crazy to me. You know, it would be different if, like, we lived in Lake City or somewhere like that, you know, but living right here at the coast, you would think that one of these TV stations would have a boating forecast, you know, when they show the news on the weather.
Well, considering the other stuff that's on the news, I have to agree with you, because it certainly would be nice to know.
Well, it would be. I mean, because you're looking at, you know, I mean, this is a major boating area.
Right? They don't have the wind usually either. You know, it'll say it's windy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, that's it. Going to be breezy.
And you know what? There's a lot besides fishermen. I mean, there's a lot of other industries that the wind makes a difference.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. You know? Construction, tree cutters. I mean, I can think of a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can imagine trying to take trees down and, you know, in the wind blowing 25 knots. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, but anyway, in construction, they're moving large structures and things. I mean,
how about carrying a piece of plywood across the roof?
Yeah. That would be bad because if gust of wind come, it could pick you and the plywood both up and take you off the roof. But that's when I'd have to let it go. It'd land wherever it wanted to.
Yeah, I was, when I was younger, I was helping a friend of mine. We were putting a new roof on his house, and somebody dropped the plywood up on the roof, and it slid down and fell on the guy underneath. Oh, it flattened him out. He looked like a sandwich. You could just see his hands and his feet sticking out. And he didn't get hurt much. I mean, he didn't have any fun.
That was bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it could have been real bad.
Could have been, yeah. But hit him on an edge.
Yeah, the edge of it come down and he'd
chopped
his
arm off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he looked just like a sandwich.
But,
And he was a mad little sandwich, too.
Oh, I bet he was. Oh, man. Because, yeah, you drop that plywood, it's going to slide right off.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of, like you're talking about construction jobs. I mean, people don't think about construction jobs, you know, having to deal with wind. But I know whenever I was in construction, we were lowering down a 16-ton now inlet, you know, had 84-inch concrete pipe going to it and out of it. And this inlet, I mean, looked like a small garage, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you're talking about wind. We had to wait and wait and wait till, you know, we got calm winds, because you don't pick that thing up in the air.
Well, the fire department has some kind of wind load rating that they won't do anything. They close our bridges, which is much to my chagrin, but it's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm kind of surprised like that, too, that they don't show, you know, more wind forecasts. I know every once in a while they'll put it up there and they'll show, you know, 5 to 10, you know. Of course, that's in town, so. You know, a lot of difference when you're on that water, a big difference. Because, you know, we've always talked about, you know, 10 to 15 means 20 knots.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a gong at my house. It's I bought it when I was working in California, and it's like a piece of casing, and it's pretty cool. And it cost me a pretty decent amount of money, but if I can hear it at my house, I'm not leaving in the boat, because that means that no way, no how is it reasonable to go fishing.
Yeah. Especially if you already hear it in the morning.
Right.
Because most of the time, now I have seen it where it's blowing in the morning, and you go out there and around 10 o'clock, it calms right on down.
Not very often.
I've seen that, but that doesn't happen all the time. Most of the time, it's, you know, the later in the day, the more it picks up.
Hey, I got a solution for you.
The later in the morning.
Your cabin cruiser fantasy.
Yeah.
We rented a houseboat on Lake Ouachita. I guess that's it starts with a Q. It's in it's the largest lake in I can't remember what state we're in, but you look it up. The boat was 60 feet long, had a sliding board on the back, had a barbecue grill, had a real refrigerator. You could get a satellite for television if you wanted. And I think your wife would be liking it, because you could take kids. I mean, I took my kids, my girlfriend, my wife now. And we all went, and it was super fun.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
Arkansas, Lake Ouachita, Arkansas. The water is the cleanest in the country for visibility up to 50 feet every year. So it's a famous lake. There's no real development on the lake. Anybody can do it, because you get in the houseboat, the captain takes you away from the dock. He jumps off on a boat. He says, you know, here's the throttle, here's the fire extinguisher, yada yada, and away you go. But I bet your wife
might like that.
The lovely Mrs. Tyson. Oh yeah. My goodness, there was 3 bedrooms on it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it was just 60 feet long and 14 feet wide, maybe. I don't know how wide they can be to ship them, but
Yeah, I don't either.
It was a pretty darn nice thing for a person. And they have stripers. They're getting 60-pound stripers off surface baits.
Hmm.
That quit a month before I got there, but.
Of course.
Yeah. But I caught some bass, caught some smallmouth bass and some other, you know, panfish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was if you're looking for a place to go fishing a little bit and take your family, you can tow your boat with that boat if that was your inclination. But
yeah,
it was a great boating, fishing adventure for us.
Yeah, there's a big misconception about charter captains. It's like, you know, they think we're out here fishing all the time, but, I mean, it's like we hardly ever get to fish. So, I mean,
right.
At times, I would just like to go fishing, you know. So that's the thing about, you know, being able to do something like that, you know.
Well, I know that when you and I went fishing last time, I had to slap you a couple of times because you're trying to bait my hooks. It's like, get away from my stuff. that captain mode ship that you can't stop yourself.
I know. It's like, you know, it's so crazy. It's, you know, just to be able to get out there and fish would be great.
Well, the most annoying is when you catch a fish and hand me your rod. It's like, I don't want that thing. But I've taken people that don't fish, and it's a ton of work. Because I know you want your guys to catch fish. I want my people. Last time I went, my buddy from Syria caught 3 fish. I caught none.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that he caught them. It really was.
Well, you know, I mean, and in the business like this, I mean, that's how you get your repeat customers.
Sure.
You don't take them out and then they spend all day and don't catch nothing and then they want to come back. You know, that don't happen a lot. You know, you gotta give them some action. You gotta give them, you know, and then I talk about local stuff too, you know, which kind of helps, you know, give them an understanding of how, you know, Jacksonville happened and things like that around the river. Because that river was a big thing. That's why Jacksonville is where it's at, you know.
Do you know about the river pirates in Jacksonville?
Well, I know there has been river pirates in Jacksonville that used to rob people on sailboats that would anchor overnight.
My neighbor that's behind me, he's about 120. He looks like Yoda, only he's taller.
Yeah.
And they told me about when they were young, people would go up and down the river and they'd rob people in houses.
Mm-hmm.
He had a storm shelter or a safe house room because they were concerned about that. And she said, oh, yeah, my friend Mabel, she, you know, they broke in and they locked themselves in the closet and they stole everything and they were afraid they were going to kill them. And they went down the river and took off. But I guess it was a thing back in the, you know, 20s. Yeah,
well, I knew that there was, that, you know, when people used to stay on sailboats out in the river like they do now and then, you know, here now. I mean, back years and years ago. This is a long time ago, and I'm not saying in the 20s. I think it was after that. But there were river pilots here, pirates here. And people don't know that about this river, but it was so long and so, you know, that they could get away, get somewhere, because police didn't have boats.
Right.
You know?
And it was dark. You can't see them. The river's wide enough. You can't see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's wide enough they could take off and run without, you know, the fear of, you know, like running aground or anything.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, it used to be kind of a bad thing a long time ago, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people carry guns now, so... You know, wouldn't be like the Somali pirates coming to the wrong boats. You know, that's don't come to the wrong boat.
Yeah, God bless the mercenaries.
Give us a call 222-8255, and we'll be back after the news and weather.